Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We are beginning a new teaching series today, and I want to begin asking about your goals. Your goals. Goals are a result or an achievement towards which we are working. We're giving focus, we're giving effort, things we work towards. And goals might be ideas, dreams, or plans, or desires, but we're not there yet, right? The idea of a goal is that it's a target, it's a destination, it's something that we're working towards. They're unfulfilled as of yet. Goals. I mean, we have goals for all sorts of things, right? We have goals for our finances. We have goals for our retirement. We have goals for fitness. We might have goals for growing a beard. Maybe. Some of you might have travel goals. I heard from someone this week that their goal was to make it to Hawaii, and that was their 50th state. They'd seen them all if they can meet their goal of making it to Hawaii. Like, that's a pretty good goal. I brought a picture of one of my goals, to no one's surprise. You see, that is the tail end of a very large fish, a muskie specifically. That red mark on that bumper board is 50 inches. Like, that's kind of the 10-point buck of the fishing world. And that's a goal for me. I've made it to 48. I have not crossed that red mark. That's a goal. None of you are really surprised, I understand. I mean, I do have some other goals that are not related to fishing. I want to finish my educational requirements to the Church of the Nazarene so I can be ordained. Like, there's a tiny little light at the end of that tunnel, but it's still a goal. It's years in the making at this point, but it's out there. So how about you? As you think about your life, what are you working towards? What are some of the goals that you have? I texted a few folks this week, and one response I got back said, my goal is to worry about things less and turn them over to God, knowing that He has it and controls the outcome as part of His plan for us or the situation. Man, a goal to worry less, to give it over to the Lord. That's a pretty good goal. Faith, fitness, finances, worry, goals are a part of our everyday life. And goals are really what our new teaching series is all about. But not just any goals. We're going to talk about relationship goals. Relationship goals. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to set goals for your relationships? Things you want to give intentional focus or effort towards within those closest to you. To enter relationship with intentionality, with a goal in mind. I mean, we have goals for practically every other area of our life. Why not relationships too? What could that look like? I asked Pastor Kevin, our lead pastor this week, I said, hey, what's some of your goals? And he said, I want our kids to come hang out with us even when they don't have to. It's a pretty good goal, right? One of my relationship goals goes something like this. Brian Charette really challenged me with this idea. But this goal goes something like this. One day in the future, after I'm long dead and gone, my goal is that Eliza, our daughter, she'd be talking to someone and say something like this. I wish you could have met my dad. I wish you could have met him. He loved the Lord. He loved me and Mom. He was there for us. He pointed us to Jesus. Man, I wish you could have met my dad. That's a goal. And I might not ever realize it till Kigers comes and picks me up one day. But man, that's a goal. It's an end at which I'm directing effort and attention to completion. So as you think about your relationships, what would goals be for you? And I understand that deciding relationship goals and setting them is not as easy as just deciding how big of a fish you want to catch. I got that. But friends, we are not without help in this area too. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about our relationships. And it can certainly help us in creating relationship goals. Goals to grow our relationships specifically in ways that are healthy and God-honoring. And friends, that's really the essence, dare I say, the goal of this new teaching series. To give intentional effort and attention to our relationships. Our series begins with goal number one. Our identity is in Christ. Goal number one. Our identity is in Christ. In relationships, we must begin by grounding our identity in Christ as part of entering and relating to others through relationship. To know who we are as a child of God, created in His image for a purpose. You see, to know that, to be secure there, frees us to engage relationships freely and with confidence because we know that no other person can fill that spot. No other person can be my number one. It must be Christ. It must be Christ. You see, to get a clearer picture of our identity in Christ is to resort back to who we were created to be. To get a picture of this in the Scriptures, I want us to take a trip all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. There we have the account of how the Lord created everything. The sun, the moon, the stars, the land and the sea, everything in it. God spoke. And it was. And so in this, in chapters 1 and 2, it's notable that there is no sin present. What's that mean? It means that everything is as God has designed, as He has intended. And that would include Adam, the first man. So let's read about his beginnings. You can turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. There's a YouVersion plan up today if you're a Bible app user. But Genesis 2, 7 and 8 says, "Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there He put the man He had formed. In these two verses about God's creative, skillful work in forming the first man, we can learn a lot about our identity, about who we are. That's our journey today. So let's pray together and invite the Lord to open our hearts to His Word. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word today. Lord, we thank You that You did not leave us without our origin story. And so God, as we dive into the beginning, Lord, help us to hear, help us to know, help us to understand who we are, who You created us to be. Lord, as we take that journey today, I pray that You would help us to identify. Lord, if we're taking identity from somewhere else, from someone else, Lord, in Your mercy, would You show us that? That we might find our identity in You alone. We love You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7, it says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. And this idea of formed here is of shaping, of formation. If you were trying to paint a picture of this word, what this means, it would come pretty close to this. This is my friend Dan Lee. He's from the 60s, so I kind of joke with him that he's in the pot business, but he runs a pottery studio. He creates beautiful works of art, and he has a little studio there behind his house, and he takes dirt from the ground and makes beautiful ornate works of art, pottery. From digging it out of the ground to a process where he works the air out of each individual lump of clay and he puts it on the wheel and begins to shape it. It's a creative and intentional process. You see, Dan begins with a vision of what he wants to make, and he brings the raw materials together, and with great skill and care and expertise, he shapes every piece by hand. It's the potter, a little pressure here, a groove there, every move carefully exacted to create the masterpiece that he has in mind. And I think this picture right here is my favorite part. At the end of this, it's the mark of the maker. He puts Dan Lee in the bottom of every piece. The maker's mark. Friends, this is the imagery of God forming man from the dust of the ground. And it's not just Adam's story, it's your story too. So as we begin this question, who am I? What's my identity? You are God's masterpiece, skillfully, purposefully created. That means you're not an accident. You're not an accident. You were created with intrinsic value and worth, formed, knit together by the hand of the Lord, fearfully and wonderfully made. That, friends, is who you are. That's who you are. The scripture says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This idea of breath is kind of, if you were going to put a picture to that, it's blowing air into a fire to bring it to life. God took the basic elements of the earth and breathed his life into them. It's a fascinating Google search if you want to try this. If you Google what the basic elements that make up this bag of bones cost, it's not a lot. Some estimates are $20, some say up to $500, but it's basic human elements that make us up. You can probably one-click buy them off Amazon. But what we see in this story, what we see in Genesis, is that God takes the basic elements, he shapes them together masterfully and purposefully, and he breathes his life into them. So what was the dirt of the ground becomes a living being created with life in his image. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are a living being of inestimable value, priceless, made in the image of God. Created and alive with his breath. And friends, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. Let's continue in verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. What we see here is that God had a specific plan, a specific place for Adam. God gave him a calling, a vocation, something to give his life to that was greater than himself. That's identity, that's purpose, that's calling. The Apostle Paul reminds believers in Ephesians 2:10. He says it this way. He says, for we are his, God's workmanship. That's the idea of masterpiece. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Friends, you are not a cosmic accident. You're not a cosmic accident. Like Adam, we too were created for a purpose to glorify God as he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. We see that God gave parameters. He gave instructions on how to do this life, how to live out this calling in relationship with God. That's who you are. Already in this story, we see in just these couple verses that Adam's got a lot going for him, doesn't he? He's got all this stuff sorted out, identity, purpose, calling, value. All of that is settled before human relationship enters on the scene. Friends, I think that's significant as we begin to think about our relationships. Adam first had his identity in relationship with the Lord. It was in that place that all of his deep core longings were fulfilled. And now he's ready for a relationship. Enter chapter 8, verse 18. The Lord God said, seeing Adam in the state, says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You see, I sometimes think we read that and then we want to take away what it means to find our identity in Christ. We want to say, well, look, pastor, God said it wasn't good. Wait, let's slow down. Having our identity and purpose and belonging all secure in the Lord doesn't mean we don't need relationships. In fact, I would propose to you today, it means that we are ready for relationships. You see, Adam had all this sorted out with the Lord, but God still looks at him and sees that it's not good for man to be alone. This reveals the truth that we are made for relationships, for community together. It's part of how God designed us. It's how we're made. We're made to be in community, but don't miss the order. Don't miss the order. Adam first was identified in the Lord, then he entered into relationship with Eve. You see, if we enter a relationship with our identity being incomplete, inevitably we're going to seek to complete ourselves, our identity, our purpose, our value in something other than God. Quite often we'll try to find that in another person. And friends, that's not going to go well. You see, because we cannot expect any other person to complete something that God has designed for himself. It's not fair to ask that of someone else. You see, nobody can be our number one. Not our best friend, not our parents, our spouse, our kids, our siblings. That spot is only Christ's. Friends, that's the essence of our relationship goal today. Our identity is in Christ first. 1 John 3:1 and 2 reminds us of this beautiful truth. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's good news. It's good news. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to work through a couple more goals together for our relationships. Drawing from the scriptures, we're going to dive into goals like we will be purpose-driven. We're going to look to the scriptures and see and understand God's purpose in relationship and how we can grow that in our relationship with others. Week three, we're going to see have our relationship goal be that our relationship will be based on a God-designed covenant. Because we see that there is a difference between a covenant and a contract, and our world often gets those two things confused. And finally, we'll see that the relationship will value family in all of its forms. Yes, our earthly physical family and our church family. And look, by naming this series Relationship Goals, we are acknowledging from the very onset, the very beginning, that our relationships need work. They need room to grow and improve. They may need a lot of work. We also recognize in this series by setting goals that we might need work, that me in relationship might need some work. And so this series is not to make you feel guilty about the relationships you don't have or do have. This is an opportunity, an offering of hope to set goals in relationship, to begin to see the Lord work through our relationships and make them healthy and honoring to him, based on the word of the Lord. As the old saying goes, if you don't know where you are going, any road will get you there. So why not set some goals for relationships? You might be wondering still this morning, Pastor, like, if this is all about relationships, why is it so much focused this morning about my identity in Christ? Right? Like, it might seem like it's a very narrow focus. It's a great question. I want to try to bring a visual representation of what's going on here, what this message is all about. Why identity in Christ first, having that sorted out, makes such a big difference in our story. So let's go back to the beginning. No, I'm not going to re-preach the whole message. It's okay. Don't sweat. Let's go back to Genesis 2. What does the text tell us? God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. It was with intentionality, with care, with skill, with vision that God formed Adam. And he's beautiful. He's made with a purpose. And if you look on the bottom, the maker's mark is there. Adam was formed in God's image. And so we see in this original state that God begins to pour into Adam. He gives him a calling, a purpose. He gives him parameters. He places him and says, hey, you're my co-agent in creation here. You are immensely valuable. You're beautiful and wonderful and filled. I have plans and purpose for you. I don't make junk. You are mine in my image. And Adam is filled to the brim, secure, fulfilling his purpose. We continue to read in the story, and God looks at this, and it's beautiful, and it's good, and all of these things are sorted out, and Adam is full, has his identity in God, and God sees this and says, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam's ready for relationship. So, here comes Eve. Noticeably more intricate. Guys, don't say complex. But also created in God's image with a purpose, with a design, a vision, a calling. I have created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, the maker's mark on the bottom. Man, and guess what? Eve's filled too. He says, you're my daughter. I have made you. I have called you. You are beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made. I have plans and a purpose for you. Man, filled. Filled. This is the picture, Genesis 2. What we see if we read on is that this doesn't last very long. So, Pastor, what happens? Well, sin. The enemy tempts Eve to take in her life, her calling, her decisions into her own hands. What happens? An emptying, separation from God. We begin to define what we want, what our purpose is, what my calling is, what I value. Adam, I don't know what he was doing. He watched the whole thing and he took a bite too. Empty. Are these pieces still beautiful and valuable and created in God's image? Absolutely. Do they still bear the mark of the maker? Absolutely. But they're empty. They're not fulfilling their purpose anymore. So what happens? We're looking to the world, to people around us, to fill us with something that only God can. So what does that look like? It looks like, I got to make sure I get into the right school. I got to have the right set of clothes. I got to be in the sports team. If I don't get into the right college, I'll never make it anywhere in life. If I don't find the right spouse, if I don't have a family, if I don't get to the right place, I'll never be able to do those things. So my identity becomes what I can achieve, what I can provide, what the world says about me, what the mirror shows me every day. And we're full and empty at the same time. Because there's something clunky about this, right? Like, these balls don't stay in here. They're not made for that. But yet we keep pouring it on, don't we? If you just get the right social account and have the right vacation and have the right things, we'll keep doing this. And it'll be good. We'll finally be filled. We won't be longing anymore. And so what happens? Well, we enter into relationship because that ought to help. And so what happens? Well, I got to find the perfect one, and he better be successful, and she better be beautiful, and we're going to do this, and all the... We just start swapping, don't we? We're trying to find worth and value in another person that's filled up with the same junk we are. And this might go on for a couple months. This might go on for years, or it might go on our whole life. And we might be in relationship, but we are so empty. We can't get a grip on why we keep longing, why no person ever seems. Why can't I find that person, that relationship that makes me complete? It's because you're full of stuff. So what does this life look like? Well, we have some words for that. Codependency. Oh, I've got to find my value or whatever I can do to keep someone happy, however I need to mold and shape my life just so I can keep in relationship with them. I find my value, my worth in that other person. We might find ourselves in an abusive situation because now we're trying to find deep-filled longing from another human being that's flawed. We are filled and empty all at the same time. Disillusionment, distrust, continual searching, full and empty, all at the same time. So, friends, if we miss this first goal, we run the risk of filling ourselves and forming our relationships by very human standards, shaped more by sin and desire than God's design. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say the results are disastrous. We fill ourselves up with things that were never meant to be at the core of who we are. We must find our identity in Christ first. If we don't get that right, man, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, failure, brokenness. Relationship goal number one. Our identity must be in Christ. As the band makes their way up, you say, well, Pastor, what do we do? If we're going to set this goal out there, what do steps look like to get there? Well, I think it looks like asking the Lord to fill us again. Lord, I've made a mess. I've looked for things in so many other places. I've valued myself by what I can produce, what I can do. My worth is only what I can give. My value only comes from how I look in the mirror or what someone says about me, whether I'm in love, in lust, in the world. I just keep searching. So God, I need you to fill me. Lord, I need to find my identity and purpose in you. Lord, would you fill me? And suddenly, something begins to happen. You see, those things that were within us, they're no longer at the core of who we are. And so you begin a journey with the Holy Spirit as you pray, Lord, fill me. He comes and he begins to move this stuff out of your life. In a journey of healing, you are free to exist and know your purpose. And now you're ready for relationship. Because you might still encounter the junk of this world, but it's no longer going to be at the core of who you are. That spot's reserved for Christ alone. And friends, we kind of enjoy some of this stuff, don't we? And so there's an element of surrender to this, that God, I'm not going to seek all the markers of success that I enjoy, that I find. I'm not going to do that, God. I'm going to give it to you. Would you fill me? Because whether these ping pong balls represent things that are fun and enjoyable in the world, markers of success, or whether abuse and detriment, they don't belong at the core of who we are. God, would you fill me again with your Spirit's presence? Lord, I got to know who I am as a child, as a son or a daughter of the King. Not what the world says about me. Who are you today? What are you full of? What's at the very core of who you are? Each and every person here today is created in God's image. You bear the mark of the Maker. God doesn't make mistakes. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Are you ready to live into it? Are you ready to be filled? To know who you are, whose you are, that you are not an accident, you have a plan and a purpose. Every breath God gives you can bring Him glory. Are you ready? You see, then you step into relationship. You're no longer seeking to fill, you're seeking to glorify God. you're ready. Lord, would you fill me? That's our response today. We're going to respond in communion together. I would invite you to stand. Jesus gave us instructions, the sacrament of communion, the night before his crucifixion. Luke 22 describes it this way. It says, "And he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In verse 20, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" What's going on here, Pastor? Jesus is giving us a way to remember physically, tangibly, his body and his blood. So communion, it proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and yes, the hope we have of his coming again. These are symbols, a way to hold and remember the cost. But you know what? We do something beautiful with these elements. What do? We take them, we eat them. They're inside of us. That's this. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Huh. We need this. We need him. We need him.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.